Welcome. I'm Matt Mazzola. I'm an engineer on the Power BI embedded team. And today we're going to look at building an application with a client-side JavaScript SDK. We're going to break it into four sections. The first section is going over the learning materials and how to get help. The second section, we're going to do a live coding demo where we build a basic application using the core JavaScript library. The third section, we're going to go over some more advanced topics such as event handling and page navigation and look at that in our Ember extension. And then lastly, we'll look at applying filters dynamically using our Ember extension. If you look at my screen, first we have, this is the core repo, Power BI JavaScript. It's all open source on GitHub. And if you go over to the wiki page, we have a collection of learning resources here. You see embedding basics, understanding the embed process, and a bunch of other things. I'll go through each of these as they come up during the video. So since the first topic, we're going to be doing a live coding of embedding. We'll open up and understand the embed process. So these are things you might use when you're learning how to embed reports. This explains the process when you're using the SDK of actually taking an element and embedding a report inside it and showing you what happens. This walks through that. The next step you might want to look at is like what actually an embed object is. And so we require basically the report ID, an access token, an embed URL, and there's other options that I'll explain later. So now let's take a look at some of the other links you might find useful. So here we have an extension of our core SDK, which is written for Angular. We also have one in Ember, and we have one in jQuery. We also have a sample application, Angular, for you to check out, REST API for serving up the embed configuration, ASP.NET MVC sample, and before you embed, normally you would have to go provision a workspace collection, provision a workspace, upload a report, and that's covered in a different video. But we've given you a basic API you can use here. So if you click this link called Power BI Embedded API, you'll see it shows this page here, and it's just a simple API to serve reports with access tokens to embed, and we're going to use that for the next part of the video. Some other things to take note of is if you are provisioning, there's an Azure CLI for Node, or if you prefer PowerShell, there's an Azure PowerShell. These manage the Azure resources like workspace collections. And once those are created, we have two other tools that actually manage the Power BI resources, which are the workspaces, the reports, the data sets. And we also have, again, one written in Node, another one written in C#. And if you go into it and have ideas, we have a user voice, and we also have, we watch Stack Overflow for tagged Power BI embedded. So for this next section, we're going to do like a live coding example of creating one of the most like basic examples just using the core SDK we provide. So to start, we're just going to create a new repository called PBI demo. Then we're going to go in that directory. And now we're going to initialize it as an NPM package. Okay, this looks like font's a little too big here. So this just, if you aren't familiar with NPM, it walks you through creating your package. So it's suggesting to you reuse the folder name as the package name. We can kind of accept all these defaults because it's just a demo app. So I'll click yes. And then for our demo, we're only going to use one dev dependency called HTTP server to serve this as a website. So the capital D means save as a dev dependency. Okay, the next step is to initialize Bower. So all of the SDK stuff I mentioned is also on Bower. So if you don't have Bower installed, you can install it using npm-g install. I'll type it out for you. I already have it installed, so I'll just go ahead and init. So similar to the npm init, this has created a Bower JSON file to track those packages. And the reason we're using Bower here is because this is a client-side application and the folder structure is a little more manageable than NPM. And we're not going to be bundling it. We're just going to include the script tags directly. So it's the easiest way. So again, we're going to go through all the defaults here. And I'm going to go ahead and open up what that just created in a text editor so you can see what it is. See, it's just a make the font bigger for you. package.json file, and you see it has our dev dependency HTTP server we installed. We have Power JSON. We haven't actually saved anything yet, so let's go add the Power BI SDK. So we're going to install Bower, install, save. Now for this, we need the SDK, and then, misspelled the client there. I'm also going to install Bootstrap just to give it a little bit more style. So basically, if you're not familiar with Bower, it's another package manager like NPM, only it works on GitHub tags. So since we didn't specify tags, you're just going to go get the latest tag for Bootstrap and Power BI client. And so if we go back to our text editor, you can see it installed Power BI 1.1.4 and Bootstrap 3.37. So now we're ready to actually start building our app. So we're going to create a new folder called app. Okay. Inside here, we're going to create a file called index.html. We're going to create an app.js, which will hold our JavaScript. And then we'll have another folder for styles. OK, so the first thing we're going to do is set up the index page. So this is going to be a very simple HTML5 doc type. We'll give it a basic title called Power BI Embedded Demo. And now here we need to include the JavaScript tags. So there you go. Now, an easiest way to do this is just kind of open the Bower folder on the left-hand side here and see how they distributed the files. So here we have Power BI client, and ours is going to be up one directory, because remember, when we're in the app folder. So Bower components, Power BI client. Okay, and then we're also going to include jQuery. We'll go ahead and, we also have to include the Bootstrap styles. And we'll just very simply create a container. Now, this is a Bootstrap container. It's nothing to do with Power BI, but it just centers the application. And we'll go ahead and give it a big title called Power BI Embedded Demo. Okay. And now we're going to create a container where our report will be embedded. This can be any element, and we're just going to call it div with the port container. Oops, mistyped container there. So I'm also going to add an ID so it's easier to reference with jQuery. And let's go add some styles so it's easy to see where we're going to embed. Now, you'll notice here I'm setting the height to be affixed right here. So by default, the iframe will take the size of the container. Because it's a div and there's no content right now, it would collapse to zero. So we have to force it to be 500 pixels. And it will automatically scale the report to maintain the aspect ratio. And that'll make sense once you see it actually embed. So this next line I'm writing here is just to set the border to none. By default, the browser will give it kind of a bevel, but we want to look a little bit cleaner. So now we're going to go ahead and start the server. So let's actually set a script here. Now you don't have to do that, but it makes it a little bit easier. Okay, so here we've ran npm start, which finds the start script in the package.json, which runs HTTP server. So this basically serves all the files in our directory at this address here. So we're going to copy that and go paste it into our browser. And remember, all of our code is in the app directory. And this is basically kind of a sanity check to make sure all the code we just written had worked. So we see the content is centered, it has the bootstrap font, and this dotted line is to give you an idea of where the report will live when it's embedded. So if we hadn't added that height or given it a border, you would just see a white page. So that's why I chose to do that. Okay, so now we're going to go to the actual Power BI related part, which everyone is interested in. So we're going to go back to our editor. And we're going to go to the app.js file. And for here, we're going to use jQuery's built-in DOM on ready function. So it's just a dollar sign, and basically you give it a function expression. And so if you're not familiar with jQuery, this implicitly means once the browser has loaded all the scripts and the DOM is at a state where it can be manipulated, that's what we're waiting for. And so the first thing we're going to do is we need to basically get an access token, embed URL, and report ID. Those are the three things we need to embed a report. Sometimes you'll see the report ID on the end of the embed URL, but I'm going to show you how to get that. So this is where you've got your application set up, and now you just start working. It's good to always go back to our links, and this is where you'd find out what you need. And so here, like I mentioned, we have this sample API for you, right? And this is going to give you, when it loads. Well, you haven't already loaded here. So you see when I click all reports, it's giving us this array of reports that are loaded in this particular workspace that I've pre-configured for everyone to demo with. So here's the report ID. I'm going to highlight here. And we'll actually try to zoom in here. There's the report ID. You can see the name of the report is Retail Analysis. This is a web URL. And then also at the bottom, there is embed URL. And notice this uses embedded.powerbi.com with the page app token report embed. The only thing missing here is the access token. And in order to get an access token, you just need to, well, for this particular API, we're just going to put in the specific ID. Now, let me go out of the zoom mode here. So this is now basically the JavaScript the JSON object that you would expect. So now that we know this URL, our API request is good, we can copy that URL, go back to our application. We're going to just use jQuery's built-in function called getJSON. And this just takes a URL, automatically sets the content type and accept headers to accept application JSON for us, which is what we want. And so we're using, this returns a promise. And the thing we're expecting back is this embed configuration object. And I'm saying embed configuration because there are many, you can embed things with different ways. Like if you go back to the wiki page and you look at the full settings, we have the ability to toggle whether the settings or the filter pane is enabled or the page navigation is visible, et cetera. So you're kind of configuring how you want to embed when you load. You can set a default page or pre-applied filters. But for this application, we're just going to do the bare minimum. So all we have to do is basically take that configuration and call Power BI embed with it. But in order to do that, we need a reference to that container that we're going to embed the report in. So this is another thing where jQuery makes it a little easy to get handles on elements. So if you remember back in the index.html, the ID of our container was main report container. You can have multiple reports embedded in the same page. So that's the idea behind maybe you have a primary and a secondary or something like that. The reason I prefix it with the dollar sign is kind of a jQuery convention to know that this isn't a regular HTML element, it's a jQuery element. And then all we need to do is just use their selector syntax to get a hold of that element. Let's see. So now, if you're familiar with promises, you imagine the request has finished, it's been fulfilled, we have the embed configuration, and we're going to call Power BI embed with the element and the embed configuration. Okay. Add a semicolon. So now if this all works, we should refresh our page and see the report embedded. So let's go back to our demo app here. Okay, so there we have it. And now I'm gonna open up the debug tool and actually kind of show you just what that object looks like in the browser. So this is just pressing F12 to open Chrome's tools, and we're gonna go in the app.js and just set a breakpoint right here, just so you can understand what exactly is going on. So if I refresh the page to reinitiate that request, you'll see that if I hover over here, it's a jQuery element. And the way jQuery works is it has arrays of elements. So we're saying, basically, get me the first one. And we know that the first one is the element we're after. And the embed configuration, this is that same JSON object that I showed you earlier that came directly from the API. And you'll see it has, I'll try to zoom in here, has an access token, an embed URL, an ID, has a name of the report. And in this particular case, it actually has a type. We are planning on being able to embed other things like visuals and dashboards. So for this case, you need to know it's a report. But if you're using specifically embedding a report and it's known ahead of time, you won't have to use that. And so there we have our, we'll let this execution finish by pressing F8. And you see it embeds the report. If you're interested in the details about what actually happens when it calls Power BI embed, this, again, is a great time to go back to the wiki and go look at understanding the embed process. And as I mentioned before, this says, okay, you're starting this flow diagram. What is the SDK actually doing for me? So that was the first section, which was creating the most basic application to embed a report. The next section, we're going to look at some more advanced features in our framework extensions, which are more popular, using like Angular and Ember. So first off, we're going to look at handling events and how this can help you simulate page navigation outside of the report and in your own application. Again, on the wiki page, we have a related link section. And you see first, Angular Power BI is the library we provide, which wraps our core Power BI JavaScript SDK in Angular. This is an extension of our Power BI JavaScript SDK library for Angular. It provides two components. These are known as directives in Angular, but components is kind of the new term for Angular too, and they function the same way. One of the components is actually called Power BI Component, and that allows you to embed generic things like reports, dashboards, tiles, and hopefully others in the future. And there's another one specifically for reports that is a little bit simpler to use because we already know what type of a thing you're embedding. So we're briefly going to go over this and just look at the source code. And here's some examples in the README. So we'll zoom in just to get you familiar with the type of syntax we'll be seeing in the demo application. So you see here, this is the directive name, Power BI Report, and you're giving it those two pieces of required information again, the embed URL and the access token. And you can also obviously supply the report ID, other settings, just like you can in the core SDK. The other component down here, Power BI component, this one is used when you kind of already have the entire embed object together, and there's not really a reason to separate the embed URL from the access token. And so this is basically just up to how you've written your application, what's easier for you to use, and we encourage you to give us feedback on what you want to see here. So to get started with this, this is just a typical npm dependency. You're going to call npm install, save it as a dependency, Power BI. You can also include it as a script tag. So this library is a UMD module. It stands for Universal Module, which means it basically will try to be loaded as an AMD. If that doesn't work, it will try to be loaded as a common.js. And if that doesn't work, it will just define a global on your page, which is Angular Power BI. And so in order to integrate it into your Power BI app, you just need to say my app has a dependency on the Power BI module, which we expose for you. And then below here is some example code you might write. And of course, I'm going to show you that in the actual demo. All right, so let's go look at the Angular sample app. So back on our wiki, on our related links, you see we have the Power BI Angular client here. And let's go ahead and open that up. So this is another repository, basically a full ready Angular app using the Angular Power BI extension, and it embeds reports. And let's take a look at the demo app. So we already have it deployed and running up on this website here. This just enables you to get an idea of what the code does before you dive into it. And so you see we've broken it out into different scenarios that are kind of progressing based on kind of not necessarily complexity, but different use cases. So very, very similar to the basic app you wrote, we start off with a static embed. And by static, I mean for your particular case, you already know the report ID and what you're going to embed. Every person who goes to your page is going to view the same report by design, by context of your application. The next one, dynamic embed, is a scenario where maybe the report that you're going to embed has to be chosen by the user. So you see here we have an example of maybe you have multiple reports in your workspace collection. The user needs to search through them. And so this uses that same demo API I showed earlier, Power BI Embed API. We're just going to click Show All. We actually only have one there. But you see it's called dynamic because when I click Embed, it's actually going to take the report I clicked and embed it below. So you can imagine extending this scenario for building applications that actually function similar to PowerBI.com, where you have a bunch of reports and your users get to come to your site and choose what to embed. This little red button up here actually demos kind of a reset feature. So if you need to take the application back to a different state, you can just reset. And basically, internally, what that's doing is it's taking that iframe and destroying it, removing the reference from our code and ensuring that everything's back in the normal state. So the main scenario we're focused on for the Ember application is page navigation and event handling, like I mentioned before. So we're going to go look at how that works. So we're using the same report for all these pages so that you get to see familiarities between the features across them. And you'll see below the let me open up a new tab so you have a direct comparison. So here I have two tabs side by side, and you see the static embed. This is like defaults. You see the filter pane shows by default. You can expand, collapse it. And down here is the report navigation. This is on by default, obviously, so users can navigate your report. But if you're building a custom, you can actually hide it and then build your own. So this is just bootstrap buttons here. But what we've actually done is we've queried the report for all of its pages, rendered a button for each page, and then we communicate back and forth with the report to change pages and simulate what would happen if the user had actually clicked the real navigation bar. So you'll see here my mouse is over the new stores link, and I am clicking it, and it's actually changing to the new stores page. And to prove that, you can go to the other report, and I'm going to click new stores. And you see it's the same page. All right, and so that is fundamentally allowing you to take this bar, which may not have looked appealing in your particular application. Now you can style it, brand it however you want. And we've added some other features here, like maybe you don't want all the buttons here and you just want to have backwards and forwards. We have a next, and you see it loops around. And for maybe more advanced cases where you're actually going to automate and maybe try to walk the user through some scenarios, we've built in a little thing where it will change pages every, I think it's 1.5 seconds. So you can see here, I'm not touching anything, but the report are still changing pages. That is obviously a little bit too fast for you to take in the information on the page, but you can imagine using this in other scenarios, maybe at a kiosk, where you want certain information to change as people are stopping by. So now we're going to go look into the code of the demo and show you how that works, starting with event handling. And by event handling, I mean you have to remember that the user could be changing pages as well as the code programmatically changing pages. So you're going to get an event that says a page was changed. And you need to keep your host application in sync with Power BI. So let's go take a look at that. So we're going to go back out here. So it's called Power BI Angular Client. I'm going to open it up in Visual Studio Code again. Okay. So you see this application has an app folder with an application route, a route for each scenario, a folder for components, folder for services, styles, app. And if you look inside scenario 3, which is related to page navigation, you'll see we have a typical setup, which is a controller, a module, a route, and a template. And if we zoom in here, you'll see we have the Power BI component, which is from the other repository, Angular Power BI, we provided to you by you including Power BI in your application. And then below, we have just the title for the current active page and a custom page navigation component. Now, this is something we wrote for this client application. You would obviously implement your own for your use case, although this gives you a very good idea of how it would be implemented. Now, you notice on the right, there is this extra action called onEmbedded, which basically means once we've embedded the report, we're going to get back an instance of that object, and we need to allow Angular to have access to that. Because we created a component about that handles this for us, normally this is kind of internally encapsulated. So this allows us to get a reference to that through the parent. So let's go take a look at how this embed action works. So because this component is provided into Angular Power BI library, I've switched over to the Angular Power BI components implementation. We're just going to take a look at how that actually works. So you see it has some initialization and setup. It watches its attributes to see when the embed configuration has been applied. And when it has, then it will call Power BI embed. And you'll see this right here, this.embed, which internally it calls service.embed. Now, Power BI service is just a rename of the global Power BI within our Angular Power BI, but it's the same function. So it's just like we did in our sample application. You're calling embed with the element of the directive and the embed object. And you see we get back this component. We're calling it component here because it may not always be a report. It may be some other type of thing. So there's using a generic name here. And you see this $ embedded variable again. Now this is the part that Angular kind of handles for us where it says, okay, I'm taking this variable from a child element, assigning it to embed and exposing it up to the parent. And I'm going to do that on an attribute called onEmbedded. And that's why in the other component, you see we had used onEmbedded as the attribute. Now, the VM onEmbedded here, same name, but this is the onEmbedded action for the controller in the host application, which is written over here in this controller. So you see I've highlighted this onEmbed in the host. Now, the report object here is the object from the internal component embedded up. And you see we log it out, so I can actually show you that in the console. Now, this code here is where we're actually using the core SDK. And we're saying when the report is loaded, we're going to go get the pages, which returns a promise with the pages array. And then because this is asynchronous behavior and Angular isn't really aware, we have to use the scope apply to basically say, Angular, hey, we're doing something out of normal execution. Please take care of this, which basically means recompute all your hashes and update the DOM for us. So we're saying, hey, take the pages we got back from Power BI, assign it to the controller, and then we're saying, set the active page to the first page. That's just the default about how Power BI loads. So one other thing before I zoom all the way out is you'll notice we also wired up for a page changed event. And this is how we say anytime the page changes, you're going to update the active page. And it works just like any other HTML event library. You have an element and you say when an event of this name happens, call this function, and that function will always be provided the event argument. And in this particular case, the page is on a details.newPage property. So we're just going to get that out of the event and then call our own update active page with the event. And all that does, you can see below, is it takes the page and assigns it to the active page controller. So that's basically event handling. As I mentioned, it's very similar to normals. Just you have an object in Power BI, which could be a report, could be a page, could be a visual. You're calling on this event. And we happen to listen to the page change event. Now, in order to change the page programmatically, we're going to go look at how we send that event or that command to the report. So let's take a look at that. So inside our custom page navigation control, you see we have, let's zoom in here, we have this top button, which if you remember is the previous button, which means go to the page on the left. At the very bottom, we have the button that says go to the next page. Right here, we have the button which said cycle, which basically turns on that automated like 2 second delay. And then in here, we have a ng repeat, which basically is saying for each page, whoops, scroll down a little bit there. For each page, render a button on the screen. And when you click that, call this function. And you'll see all the ng click handlers over here, which is next page clicked, cycle pages, page clicked, etc. And here is the ng repeat. And so let's go look at what happens when you click a button to a specific page, because that's the most simple case. All the rest, doing next, cycling, forward and back, those are just extensions on sending command to a page. It's just a matter of figuring out what page to send. So we'll be back out in the host application now, and we're in our controller, and we're saying we have handlers for all those functions I just mentioned. You see cycle page, next page, page clicked. And when we call page clicked, we're just getting a page object. And this is actually a class which has a set active page. So really, it couldn't be easier. You get a page object, and you say, what do I want to do with it? I want to make it the active page. And so there it is. It's basically one line. And our core JavaScript library is kind of hiding the complexity of taking this object, transforming an object, and making it easy for you to set pages. Now, this does require you to have a page object from the report. You notice we had called getPages. Now, if you don't want to call getPages first, say you happen to know the name of the page ahead of time, we have a solution for that too. So let's look at the SDK a little bit. So we'll go back here in our trusty wiki page. You'll see we have a section on page navigation. And this goes through some of the same functions I used in a demo application. You'll see very similar report getPages, page set active. Now there's one down here. It allows you to construct a page object just knowing the name without having to query the report. So for some people who already know the page name, this might be easier for you. Obviously, and then here it shows you how to register events. Okay, so that basically went over the Angular app, event handling, and page navigation. In the next, we're going to look at applying filters. And for this section, we're going to use our Ember application. So we're going to go back to our wiki homepage. And just like the Angular, we also our Angular Power BI, we also have an extension called Ember Power BI. We're going to open that up. And the Angular Power BI and Ember Power BI do the same exact things. They're just manifested in different frameworks. The Ember Power BI gives you also two components and a service. The service wraps our core JavaScript service, and the two components do the same thing, just in Ember's slightly different syntax. Now, the one difference here is that Ember includes their demo applications within their add-ons, and this makes it really easy for you to install one thing, and you automatically get the source, the demo, and everything ready to go when you clone the repo. Similarly to the Angular Power BI, you can look at the README. It has descriptions on how to get started. You see Power BI component again and Power BI report here, taking the embed URL and access token. So we're going to jump over to the editor. And I have, again, already cloned this repo. And Ember works with, this is written for Ember CLI. So it is what is called an Ember add-on, which doesn't mean much other than it's a library which follows specific conventions to automatically be included in your application. So you just can write Ember install Ember Power BI, and this will automatically not only hook into your build system, provide you the code, everything. Whereas with the Angular 1x version, which doesn't have this automation yet, you would have to manually include the script. So it's slightly easier. All right, so very similar, you'll see in our add-on folder, we have the two components, Power BI component, Power BI report. We have our Power BI service, and they do the same thing as the Angular ones. We'll take a brief, quick look at them. You see it's waiting for the element to be inserted, it's validating the options, and it's calling embed, again, just like the Angular one. And if you look at the embed, again, it's doing the Angular way to get a reference to that service, and it's calling embed with the element and the options, just like we did on the basic application, the Ember application, and now the Ember application. So we're trying to go for a consistent, uniform experience across all our frameworks. Okay, so again, like we did for the Angular version, we're gonna go look at the finished example first of filters, so you get an idea of what it means to be applying filters dynamically, and then we'll go look at the code and understand how that works. So we have a demo running at Power BI Ember / or .azurewebsites.net/scenario1. Is again, we have all the same scenarios we had in Angular. We have the basic embed, the dynamic embed, page navigation, custom filter pane, setting a default page or filter, and also being able to dynamically update settings. And again, when I say settings, I mean controlling whether the filter pane or the page navigation is visible. So let's go to scenario 4, which is custom filter pane. Okay, so you see here how the gray or black bar on the right is not visible. We've intentionally hidden that and then recreated our own filter-like pane on the right here. And then below, we have a set of buttons. And this obviously is it's a demo intended to show you all the different use cases. Obviously, this is kind of distracting from the report here, but you imagine this is just here to show you the examples. So if you're in a scenario where you know which filter needs to be pre-applied, you can construct a filter and apply it. You don't actually have to manually fill out this filter pane over here. So we have that set up. So the column on the left is for report filters, and this is the primary use case, probably what people are going to use all the time. So you'll notice, if I can fit both of these in the screen here, when I click this top blue button, watch the visuals, because they're going to change. You see how that effectively I applied a filter which said only show the stores where the name has the word district in them, right? And so watch, I'm going to remove the report level filter and it goes back to normal, right? So I had applied a report level filter and then just removed it all through the SDK, particularly using Ember, right? And one more we're going to show. This is another, the same thing, but just a slightly different filter. It has a little bit more animation. And you see we filtered out even more this time. This, again, is also another advanced filter and says where the name contains the characters WASH for Washington or Park. So let's go ahead and remove that. We also have page filters. So you see this drop down here. This is a drop down. Let me zoom in for you. This drop down is all the same pages that you see in the page navigation right here. So you're selecting the page that you want to apply the filter to. So let's check this out in action. So I had cleared all the filters in the report. There's no filters applied to the report now. We're going to look at district monthly sales. This is what it looks like with no filters. We're going to go back to overview, and we're going to apply a filter to district monthly sales only. So you know, I clicked that and you didn't see anything changed. That's because the filter only applied to the district monthly sales page. And you see when I click it now, it looks slightly different than it would without filter. I'm going to remove the filter from the district monthly sales page. You'll see it go back to normal. So that kind of proves that the filter is only on a specific page. Now, as you might have various scenarios where this helps out your customers, so I hope you like it. You can also do a similar thing with visuals. And we don't have the buttons implemented right now, but we'll get that up shortly. So that's applying what I would, similar to the static embed, the static filter. You kind of know the filter ahead of time, and you're just kind of helping your user. The other case is when your user is the person who needs to add a filter, but you don't want to use our filter pane. You want maybe a more guided or a more streamlined filter pane. So this is a representation of what you might create. So at the top, you're selecting the kind of filter target type, and here you can have, you know, column, hierarchy, and measure. I'm just going to go with column for now. I happen to know this report has a table called store and a column called name. and we're going to create an advanced filter. And we are going to do an or. And we're going to say when the value equals, we'll use that similar one where the value equals Washington or select contains here. Then for the second value, we're going to choose park. And again, we're going to say contains. So combining this all together, we're creating an advanced filter with two conditions saying the store name must contain the characters Washington or contain the characters park. And we're going to apply it to the entire report. I'm going to click add. And again, you should see the report update. And then again, we can remove it with this same button over here. So now that we've explained the controls, similar, let's go to the editor and look at how the code works. So here we are with the IDE with the Ember application. So we're going to go take a look at the code here. And you see the add-on folder, we have the two components, Power BI component and Power BI report, just like the Angular application. And the dummy app is actually in the test dummy folder. And you'll see here's an application. And again, we have our custom components you've written for the dummy application that you might write in your own. So in this case, we're focused on filters. We're looking at the filter pane. And again, it's an Ember component. We also have controllers for each of the scenarios. And scenario 4 is the scenario for custom filters. And so again, you see we have the on embedded action. It works just like it does in Angular. When the report is embedded, this action is fired and it gives you an instance of that object. And again, you see here we're calling get pages, et cetera, just like we were for the Angular. The reason we need the pages for this is because we have to populate all those dropdowns for you to apply a filter to the page, even though this is a focused on filters here. So you see this code here is actually what is applying the filters. And before I actually go do that, let me check the wiki again, because there's a lot of good information. So just like there was a section for page navigation, there's a section for filters. And the core of the filters is you're either retrieving the state of filters on the report through get filters, or you're setting the state of filters on the report. So it's really simple. It's two methods, get filters and set filters. You retrieve an array when you get, you apply the array. And the object you retrieve from get, you could simply add a filter to it and set it back. And that would be the same thing as adding a filter. So we're trying to give you kind of the core fundamental tools, and you can build out kind of a simulate and add and update and remove if you need it. Also remember that these methods are asynchronous and they're promises. So you might have an error. If you accidentally try to construct a filter object that's actually not valid, we'll throw an error and say, hey, you know, this is missing a property. This is not a real table or something like that. And so you might want to be careful about that. We also have a same way we have a page change event, we have a filtered applied event. So whether the user is adding a filter through the our filter pane or you're programmatically at it, when that filter's applied and processed, you'll get an event that says, hey, here's the new state of filters on the report. There's also a helper method called remove filters, and this is really just for convenience. It's kind of the same thing as calling set filters with an empty array. We want to just make it easy for you. It's a little more semantic. In the bottom, here's a quick note about page level and visual filters. These aren't as common as report, but it's still good to know they're there if you have a particular use case. And if you want to understand the details of how these work, I'd recommend checking out this Understanding the Object Hierarchy, because it works a little bit different than pages. So pages, obviously, there's pages in a report, and that's about it. But as I demoed in the application, if we go look at it again, I mentioned these columns. And like one column is for reports, one's for pages, one for visuals. We have that concept, the slightly extra complexity, where if you don't care about page and visual filters, you can completely ignore it, use reports, and never have to know they're there. But if you do, this is important to understand. And so reports, pages, and visuals are all objects that have these get filters and set filters methods. And if you want to only apply a filter to a page, you need to first get an instance of that page and then call set filters on it. And we'll look at the code and how that works. Okay, so here we are back in the Ember code. that I was right before. And you'll see we have like the set filters action, and we're saying, what's the filter I want to apply? And the filterable is that object that you're going to apply it to. Could be a report page or visual. And so you see, let me zoom in here. We're taking, you can kind of think of it as the target about where you're going to apply. The filterable object, we're calling set filters on it with the filter. In this case, we're only ever applying one filter, and we're actually overriding all the other ones. So we're kind of guaranteeing that there's always only one filter applied for clarity in our demo. And you also see we have a method for removing report filters, page filters, and visual filters. And again, we're just using that convenience method of remove filters. So it's very, very easy. Okay, so you see we have the action predefined filter one click. This is that first blue button, the report level filter. And we're going to go look at how to actually construct filters that you want to apply. And so you see here we have a class, and we're providing the target, which is the table and the column. And then we're saying the operator is OR, and the conditions inside the advanced filter is two other operators, which is contains, and the value is direct. And there's a special operator called none, which kind of means ignore the other condition here. And we also have filterable interfaces. So if you want to construct a filter outside of these constructors just by kind of using regular plain old JavaScript objects, you can do that as well. And I would encourage you to check out our Power BI models repository, and we can take a quick look at that here. So again, go back to our wiki. You see the link here, Power BI models. If we open that up, this is basically all of the different objects that you can pass. And this is particularly where our filter constructors and how we validate load configurations, filters, pages, et cetera. For now, let's go back to Ember. So the other thing we wanted to look at is how are we actually building the filter pane? Because that's where the majority of the complexity is going to arise on this. So if we go back to the component, and we have a template for our component. Let's take a look at it in the browser so you get an idea of what the HTML is representing. So we just have a title, basically have a dropdown, two input fields, a place to select the type of filter, which just determines the logical operator, and then the values. You see if we select basic, you get a different set of options. You can select in, not in, and set options here. So this component is just a giant form with a submit action. And basically, we collect all of the data you put in and use the Power BI models to construct a filter object of it. So this part isn't very interesting. It's just standard Ember with forms. So we'll go to the controller, which is the part where you can see the filter being created. So you remember there was a submit action. So when the user fills out everything, in the very bottom they click submit, you'll see this is the code that actually creates the filter. So this first function basically gathers all the data from the form. And then we're checking what type of filter did they want to create. What is it, basic or advanced? And then based on that, we pass all the data to those two types of constructors. And then once we have the filter and the destination for that filter, we call the action on addFilter, which goes out to our controller. And we can search for that. Oops. Actually be up here called setFilters. And this is what we had earlier. And so that's how you apply filters in Ember. And it works the same way in Angular. You can check out the code for that one. I didn't mention it. I mentioned page changed and filters applied, but we also have other events called data selection, where you could imagine a user clicking on data in a visual, and it will give you back the visual, the page that they clicked on, and all sorts of information for you to be able to change your host application based on that, which will help you do some cool scenarios. Also, to wrap up, I want to just go back to all the repositories and say, this is basically where we have all of our learning materials. If you have any recommendations, feel free to open up an issue, and we're very responsive. So in summary, we've gone over how to get help, where to find all the learning materials on our wiki. We've also looked at how to build a basic application using jQuery in our core SDK. We looked at the Angular sample, how to do event handling and page navigation. And we also looked at the Ember sample, how to dynamically apply filters and listen for events. Thanks for watching.